This audio production is presented by Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church in Ocala, Florida. For more resources, visit us online at gspcocala.com.
To pick on Jesus and to make a case against him, point out, hey, your disciples aren't doing what we're supposed to do. They're not following the traditional rules that you wash your hands. Now, this is not about hygiene, okay? This is not the disciples are gross people. This is, they're not doing what is ritually commanded. They're not doing the ritual washings. Now, if you go through your Old Testament and dig into all the ritual washings that are commanded, you won't find one that says, wash your hands before every meal. You won't find one that says, wash yourself after you go to the marketplace. You won't find commandments that detail the way that the Pharisees detailed how you wash a pot depending on how it was defiled by what substance, okay? You will find nowhere in the Bible how to properly baptize a couch, okay? That's what it says they do. They baptize their dining couches. Anybody want a dining couch? Anybody have a dining couch? If so, I'll come baptize it for you. These are rituals that they have added to the law of God. Now, the question is why? Too often, because the Pharisees became the opposition to Jesus, we like to simply think Pharisees, wicked, awful, evil, spawn of Satan people. The Pharisees were the most devout members of the Jewish community. They are the ones who had their hearts so committed to try and know and love God that they were the leaders. They were the 1%. They were the ones who seemed to be pursuing God more than anybody else. That's why they had these laws. As a group of people, the Pharisees, this part of the Jewish people came about after the exile. If you remember Old Testament history, God's people come into the promised land, live a few hundred years wickedly, and God exiles them, kicks them out of the promised land. And then they come back, and after they come back, there seems to be this void, that the presence of God is not there. And the Pharisees were people who, terrified of the exile, longing to never see that happen again, tried deeply and passionately to follow the law of Moses. And so that they did not break the law of Moses, they began to debate, well, you know, if I'm not supposed to do work on the Sabbath, what is work? Well, if I sweat when I walk, is that work? Well, if so, how far can I walk before I get too tired? And they began to measure out every law. And they began to build what we say a fence around the law to keep you from getting close enough to breaking the law because they wanted to pursue holiness. They wanted to pursue righteousness. But what happened was as they built this tradition, they stopped worshiping God and began worshiping the tradition. Traditions are amoral, okay? Ben's wearing a traditional shirt today. If you haven't seen, Ben's the guy sitting up here. He talked up here. Green shirt, little yellow symbol there. Praise Jesus, it's the Master's. Right? A tradition unlike any other. Right? We're kind of in the South. Another tradition, SEC football, right? Some of you just had a Holy Spirit experience right there. I just said it, right? It's May. It's not here yet, but you're worshiping now, right? Tradition, the way that we do things. Traditions in and of themselves, the Master's, is not a moral thing, okay? Immorality happens all over the place, okay? However, as a tradition, that tradition is amoral. What happens is when we use our traditions to supersede, to overtake the law and commands of God, those amoral traditions suddenly become immoral traditions. Because what we do is we use our tradition as a way of judging all others, as a way of creating a new standard of morality. So God says, you should be pure. You should be righteous. And he tells us of ways that we defile ourselves and gives us rituals by which we can show that we seek purity. But when we use the ritual to show that everyone else has failed to be pure, we suddenly turn a good gift from God into a sledgehammer by which to bludgeon everybody else who fails our tradition. And this is what has happened. And it happens to us today. How do you know if your traditions that you have turned from amoral to immoral? One of the easiest ways you can think about it, and let's just be clear, we all have traditions, right? Some of you were uncomfortable because Mike changed up where we sing songs this morning. We sang two songs in a row. We haven't done that in a while. And some are like, God, we're supposed to be sitting right now. I'm going to sit down anyway. I'm not breaking. We have tradition, right? How do you know if your tradition's gone from amoral to immoral? Quite simply, when you defend your tradition with, well, it's common sense that we would do it that way. It just makes sense. If you can't defend why it should be done because God commands it, but you defend it because it just seems right that we should dress up when we go to church. You know, that music, it just doesn't sound like the music of God. I just don't think that's right. It makes common sense. There is no law in the Bible anywhere that you can find that says I'm supposed to be wearing a sport coat and you're supposed to be wearing a tie, okay? There is no law that says no flip-flops in church. Jesus wore sandals to church, okay? Now, most of you, if you're here, you're like, yeah, woo, yay. Take that. That's wrong, too. When you hold on to your tradition and you look at others, and let's be clear and let's be honest, each and every one of us have these, right? And we hold on to them. And what happens is when they are broken, when things are done differently than the way we like them, we suddenly accuse people of not loving Jesus right. They're immoral because of the music they listen to, the language they use, okay? We make these traditions, and what does Jesus say about these traditions? Quite simply, he hates them. He condemns them. Now, Jesus, in this moment, notice he does not respond to their simple question, why don't your disciples, this is not a, hey, you're breaking the Sabbath like chapter 2. Why are your disciples not doing what is traditional? He doesn't say, well, let's talk about your tradition. He says, meek and mild are going to take a nap right now. Let me call you a hypocrite and a wicked person. They just asked a question. Jesus says, Isaiah calls you hypocrites. He says, you're nothing but people who have faking your way to act like you love God, when in truth, your hearts are nowhere near God. Jesus despises the way we use our traditions. He says that they are things that make us, we use these traditions to try and show that we're godly, and in fact, they make us far from God. They show that we are godless. He says, worshiping God through our traditions, through the ways that we think are right, not the ways that the Bible commands, are vain worship. They are empty worship. In other words, God does not hear them nor receive them as worship. When you come in and think you're doing what is the right thing to do, because it's the way that we do it, God doesn't even hear it. He says it is vain, it is empty, it is worthless. It is far from God. Jesus says you leave the commandment of God for your tradition. And he uses this example of Corban, which is quite simply a word that means dedicated to God. The situation he paints is a way that the people had created so that they wouldn't have to obey God's law, quite simply. If there was a child, the example he used, if you're a child and you have possessions that you know that as your parents age, they're going to need. But you don't want to give them up. You, in your holiness and your righteousness, can say, I declare them dedicated to God. They belong to God. And when I die, they go to God. So I can't give them to anybody else. They're God's. So mom, dad, sorry, you're moving somewhere else. I can't take care of you. I've dedicated all that to God. Which sounds really gross, right? And then you realize the ways that we do the same thing. The ways that we value our traditions, we morph them into, you know, I'm doing this for God, but the reality is I've really done this so I don't have to deal with what God actually commands. We come up with good things, right? Well, this is family time, so I'm not going to sacrifice family time to go and help you do what God really commands me to do because I need to protect family time. Good thing, right? But we use it to keep ourselves from showing mercy. Providing for our families, right? We should care for those who are under our household. We should provide for them, but many a man, many a woman will pour their life into providing for their family to the point of ignoring actually caring for their family. And they consider it righteousness. Some of us have a desire to do what is good and right and pursue excellence in everything because the Lord demands perfection. And so we do everything we can at the utmost level and we run over people and destroy them left and right for the sake of excellence, forgetting that God commands mercy as well. And the Lord says, it is vain and it is empty and it is far from me. The things we do, thinking we're doing, going near, he says you are far. Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus says the way you used your tradition may actually keep you from getting to the love of God. Your pursuit of doing things the way we've always done them may be the one thing that keeps you from ever knowing the love of God. So what do we do about it? How do we avoid this pitfall? How do we not set up tradition so that it supersedes the command of God? What do we need to know to avoid it? Again, remember the context of this. This is coming off of Jesus feeding the 5,000, walking on water, and doing miracles more spectacular than he had done any point in time up to this point. And then the Pharisees come and say, hey, what about washing hands? God himself has been walking on water. God himself has been showing himself in undeniable ways. And they say, oh, we got a question about a small little detail that nobody cares about. What do you need to know to avoid this? You need to know God. Not the rules, not the tradition. The reason the rules are there so that you would know him, so that you would see him. And yet we allow our tradition to get in the way of knowing him. Of preventing others from knowing him. And he reveals himself over and over again, and it becomes empty and void because we hold up our tradition in the place of his commandment. So, what do you do about it? Well, one, repent. Repent of the ways that you hold on to traditions, the way things have always been done, the ways that you condemn those around you. For how they sit in church or what they wear, how they parent their children, or in your opinion, don't parent their children. Repent. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and dismantle those, which will be incredibly uncomfortable. It will mean the way you like things being done will be different all around you. Finally, fill your vision with Jesus. Fill your vision with Jesus. All week long, the songs from last week have been ringing in my ears, and I've been saying over and over again, Lord, have mercy. And then this morning, the Lord is changing my vision to say the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not just save me from this, but let me find joy in who you are. My prayer for you is that you will see him. That you will not get caught up in the way you like things done, the way you think they should be done, and instead you will let your vision be set on him and let him determine how they fall out. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this is difficult for us to change habit, to be convinced of the places where we think wisdom rules, but in fact it is simply our tradition. It is simply the way we like things. Father, humble us so that we do not look around the room condemning others, but instead, by your Spirit, would you break our own hearts for the ways that we hold on to our own traditions. And would you fill our vision with you? We might see you more clearly and know you deeply. In spite of our traditions, in spite of the ways we like things, let us know you. In Christ's name, amen.